It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. By now, you know that Donald Trump won the Republican presidential primary in Pennsylvania last night. But here's what you probably don't know. Only 17 of the 71 delegates headed to this summer's Republican National Convention are bound to support the presidential candidate who wins the primary. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporter Chris Potter has looked into this and joins us to discuss the gap between what voters know about these delegates and how they are going to act. Chris Potter, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's good to be here with you.
Ingenious of you to delve into this.
I let John Baer talk about those, you know, the presidential race and the attorney generalist and all that boring but necessary stuff. I got right into the sexy business with the delegate races.
All right. So explain, you go into the voting booth and, you know, I'm assuming it's the same for both parties that you vote for the delegates and it says right there next to the name of the delegate that you're voting for, who they will cast their ballot for at the convention.
That's not true. That's true on the Democratic side. That's
okay.
If you vote for the Democrat, that's you get to see, okay, this is a Hillary Clinton back or whatever. On the Republican side, you just see names.
Uh-huh.
That's all you get. And most likely, some, if not all of those names are people you have never heard of before. It is a crazy way of doing business, but that's how they do it on the Republican side. And a lot of the delegates who are running think that that's a bad system. So even the people who are running on the ballot think the ballot should be handled better.
They think that the people voting should know who they're going to vote
for. Well, there are a couple of things. I mean, when you talk to these folks, some feel that delegates should be bound to support whomever the public supports, whether it's statewide or in their district. So some people feel that all 71 delegates should be chosen the way the 17 are chosen, you know, whoever wins the district. Other delegates.
By the way, how many people assume that's the way it works?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Somebody should really poll the level of confusion in this state, especially on the Republican ticket. But some delegates think, okay, you know, some of these candidates think, okay, we should be obliged to support whoever our district or whoever our state supports. Others think, no, it's good to have the delegates chosen, but it should on the ballot say who I support. It should be more like the Democratic side. So there are different ideas kind of about reform, and there are some delegates who feel the system works okay as it is for whatever reason.
You know, you reached out to some delegates for a recent story that you did.
Yeah.
What did they say?
Well, I reached out to the nearly 30 of the delegates who are running in they're elected by congressional districts. So I reached out to the folks running in congressional districts 12, 14 and 18, which is the three districts that encompass Allegheny County and some of the surrounding areas. And like I said, they were kind of all over the map. Some were running and saying, I am going to vote for Donald Trump. I don't care what the district votes. I don't care who wins the state. I'm a Trump guy. If you want Donald Trump to be our nominee, vote for me. If you want somebody else, then vote for somebody else for delegate. There were a few folks. There were also some Cruz supporters in that camp. The larger bulk of folks said, I'm at least on the first ballot, I'm going to support whatever candidate my district supports.
So but they're not bound to do that.
These promises are about as binding as any promise made in the context of a political campaign, which is to say, not at all.
Okay. And by the way, if anybody is confused as some people might be about how this works, you're not alone. You're welcome to call in and fire away with
questions. We're here to help.
with questions and comments at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 to join our conversation with Chris Potter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. So, all right, why do the Republicans do it this way?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of reasons for that. And one thing you kind of want to keep in mind is the way most of us think about elections, you know, that the people decide, we, the primary voters, decide who our nominee will be. That's actually a fairly recent innovation in how Americans have selected their presidential nominees. Up until through the 1960s, it really was the delegates who went to the conventions, who made these decisions.
The smoke-filled rooms.
You know, if you want to call it that. I think there's maybe some nostalgia for smoke-filled rooms these days. But so what you're seeing now is this sort of weird thing where for a lot of years, especially in Pennsylvania, it was already clear who the nominee was going to be by the time we got to Pennsylvania. And so nobody really thought about this delegate thing. You just voted if you knew somebody mm-hmm. who was a neighbor or a friend, I'll put him down. And otherwise, I'll just pick this name's a little familiar. And this was the first guy on the ballot here. So I'm just picking them and then I'm going out for pancakes after voting. So what we're seeing now is there are these rules that have sort of been in place for a very long time. And people have just kind of forgotten about what they mean. And now all of a sudden, folks are kind of waking up and are surprised by, you know, hey, wait a minute. Donald Trump could win the election here, could win the primary election here in Pennsylvania, but could come out behind in the delegate count. Now, that does not seem to have happened yesterday. As near as I can tell, based on the very sort of preliminary vote totals and my very preliminary sleep-deprived analysis of them, he did pretty well in the delegate race. He got about as many delegates who Donald Trump supports won on a percentage basis as he got in the popular vote.
Right, but if they are not bound to support him, then, yeah. I mean, what kind of a convention are we looking at in July in Cleveland if these people have not been forthcoming about who the delegates I'm talking about,
yes.
about who they're voting for or who they're going to cast their ballot for, or, you know, if they are going to change their minds, which I guess is their prerogative to do.
It absolutely is. And, of course, depending on how this plays out, say they go to 3, 4, 5 ballots. Say you got elected saying you were a Trump supporter, but Trump's no longer on the ballot. What do you do then? It's very hard to sort of to know what the right thing to do would be. I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen come July in Cleveland. The other thing that I'll say, too, is it's not entirely clear how votes will actually be recorded. Traditionally, if you want to go back and see, well, how did delegates vote in 2012, the Republican Party reported statewide totals. They didn't tell you, you know, Chris Potter voted for Mitt Romney, but Paul Guggenheimer supported, you know, the Ron Paul campaign. They don't tell you that. They didn't tell you that. And it's not clear what the rules will be in July. That's one of the things that gets decided prior to the convention.
Right. And just so that we all understand, if, say, Donald Trump gets to that magic number of delegates, which it looks like he will, but there's a large percentage of them that, as you were explaining to us, are uncommitted.
Yeah.
So they go around and they do the first ballot. And if he doesn't win on that first ballot in Cleveland on that, what would it be, that Wednesday night,
yep.
Then what happens? Does all hell break loose? Is it a free-for-all?
Well, there are different states have somewhat different rules. So, for example, in Pennsylvania, the 17 delegates that are assigned to Donald Trump because he won the state the popular vote last night, they're only bound to Donald Trump on that first vote. And that's true of most but not all of the delegates who will be going from all of the states to Cleveland. And every state has its own quirks. Some release all of them on the first ballot, some release some and wait for subsequent ballots to release the others. But it is likely to be messed. The one thing I will say is just intuitively, having talked to these delegates and having a sense of the Trump campaign, I have a feeling that the folks who say they are for Donald Trump are gonna be for Donald Trump. You're not going to see a lot of defections, would just be my guess.
But if they do some of those old fashioned things,
yeah.
if they say, hey, you know, come on into this back room here. We have some gifts
yeah.
for you
yeah.
if you vote for Ted Cruz instead of Donald yeah. Trump, even though we know you promised to.
Yeah. And two, one thing people don't realize, in fact, I wasn't fully cognizant of it. Now that you won this thing as a delegate, you're on the hook now to spend a few $1,000s of your own money just to go to Cleveland. There's $500 to get the badge. There's the cost of lodging and food. The delegates I spoke to who had thought about it said they expected to spend $3,000 or $4,000 just to go to this thing, and that's money out of their own pocket. So
it's not a great business proposition
for the delegates, is it? It's not. The people who are running are not running to make a lot of money in public service here, that's for sure.
We're talking with Chris Potter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette about the delegate process and who's committed to doing what at the convention in Cleveland for the Republicans, which is dramatically different from how the Democrats do it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But we do want to take your calls at 412-246-2002. We're going to start with Chad in New Stanton. Hi, Chad. You're on the air with Chris Potter.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
My comment has to do with the fact that it amazes me that social media has become, you know, such a learning center for so many things. A few days ago, I, like many other people, had no knowledge of the delegate situation and exactly what your vote was doing when you went into the booth to vote and how you needed to pick up on these delegates and which ones were the ones that were going to end up in your corner, say, for example, voting for Donald Trump. Thank goodness people posted on social media actual charts showing the delegates throughout the state based on what congressional district you were in that would be the ones that you'd want to vote for who will help shore up Donald Trump's nomination. So I'm just amazed, number one, that social media played a part in that, and thank goodness for it, or I would have had no knowledge. People were shocked when we reposted this information over and over for them. And the second part of it is...
All right, let's let Chris react to that, and then we'll get to your question, Chad.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially, too, the Trump folks, and it was sort of a grassroots effort on the part of some of the delegate candidates for delegate here in Pennsylvania who are really doing that. One guy in particular, Gabe Keller, who was running for a delegate, I think, in the 12th Congressional District, did a really solid job of posting that stuff on his own website. Sadly, Gabe Keller... was not among the winning candidates last night. And there's a wrinkle with Trump too. The Trump campaign came out with its own slate of endorsed candidates, and Gabriel Keller and a couple of other real kind of true believers were not on that. And I know there was some upset among in Trump land about that sort of stuff. But your caller's absolutely right that there was a real sort of grassroots effort on social media and word of mouth to kind of let people know who these delegates were. And I got to say, it worked pretty well. Donald Trump got about 31 of the 54 candidates who Donald Trump the campaign endorsed appear to have won yesterday. And that was partly because of social media. It was also partly because Mr. Trump did get some help. Lou Barletta, Tom Marino, two Congress people from out in the East were very active, as I understand it, in their districts. And Donald Trump swept the slate in those two districts. He got all three of the delegates who were available. So a combination of grassroots effort and having some friends in the right places helped Donald Trump last night.
Okay, so Chad, you had a question. Go ahead with that quickly.
The only other thing I had was a comment, and I appreciate this conversation about the delegates and the process. I just wish it would have been 1 week earlier, prior to the primary, because then it certainly could have been more helpful and helped more people gain a better understanding of how the system works.
Fair enough.
You can blame Paul Guggenheimer for that.
Wait a minute. Now,
I will say some of my colleagues in the press had stories about delegates. We had one just about the delegates in 12, 14, and 18 in those districts on the Sunday before. But yeah, I mean, I think compared to the confusion, everybody would have had to be doing a story a night on this for people to really feel up to speed on it.
Thank you for clarifying that. And yes, and thank you for the call, Chad. So, all right, before we wrap this up, so explain some of the other significant differences between how the Republicans do this and the Democrats with assigning delegates committee being committed to a candidate.
Yeah, well, the other thing on the Democratic side, the real sort of wiggle room here is the superdelegate angle. And these tend to be this has sort of been a controversial thing for a lot of years. Back in 2008, it was controversial as well. Superdelegates are essentially elected officials and other sort of party figures within the Democratic Party who are unpledged. They are not bound by the popular vote in their state. And the idea is these are sort of the elders of the party who are going to come in. And I don't know, if all the Democrats went crazy and voted for Donald Trump, they would be here to save us from ourselves, I suppose. And they typically, certainly in this campaign, they are very heavily for Hillary Clinton. And it's sort of an interesting thing because for a while, a lot of the supporters of Bernie Sanders were upset because media outlets like mine would report the superdelegate total in with the other delegate total. And they would say, well, that's not fair. That's just because now she looks like she has this massive advantage just because she has these political insiders in her corner. What's happened more recently as the primary races have gotten away from Bernie Sanders, and obviously Hillary Clinton had a big night last night, the Sanders campaign now is sort of saying, well, we can get these superdelegates to support us because we're more electable in November.
Can they?
I think it's really hard for me to imagine a circumstance in which any large block of superdelegates decided to buck the will of the voters in all of the states that have voted and whose support has largely gone to Hillary Clinton. It's hard for me to imagine them swinging in at the 11th hour and swinging the vote to Bernie Sanders.
But what if they did? There's your movie script.
Yeah.
Chris Potter, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporter, joining us. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
It's always good to be here, Paul.
Coming up, an interview with Jimmy Beaumont of the Skyliners, who are being inducted as Pittsburgh Rock and Roll Legends. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.